This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, January 3rd, 2025. And it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or through the app, or by podcast, or watching us on Facebook or YouTube. It's nice to have you along. Starting your Friday and ending your week right here, I've got a question for you. Do you still have a checkbook? Do you still write checks anymore? This is normally the time of year where, you know, every year they say, well, you know, if you write a check, be sure you write 2025 instead of 2024. And, I mean, I don't make that joke usually because I can't tell you the last time I wrote a check. Yesterday, I needed to write two checks. So I had to pull out this checkbook and one for property taxes and one for something else where they only wanted checks. And I had to double check on here. And this particular checkbook, the first, you know, you've got the carbon copies. The first check in this particular book was written in 2017. I mean, we used to go through multiple, you know, checkbooks a year back in the day. And now it's years to use up one of them. But I did write 2025, so I'm kind of proud of myself that way for getting that right. Coming up on the program today, we're again continuing to juggle the schedule a little bit because of the holidays. Kiev Akil is off for one more week. We'll talk with him next week, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom. But at 6:30, we will talk to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. We normally talk to him at 7:20. He's going to join us at 6:30. We've got a little extra time to spend with him. Because as folks are sharing their memories of former President Jimmy Carter, Jim Santel, as a college kid at Marquette, had the opportunity to intern in the Jimmy Carter White House. And will talk to us about that experience long before he served as U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin. So that's at 6:30. So then at 7:06, we're going to have State Senate Democratic Leader Diane Hesselbein in. And she will help us preview the upcoming session of the Wisconsin legislature that will get going on Monday. The new Congress begins today. Senate Republicans quickly decided on who would replace Mitch McConnell as their leader. House Republicans, on the other hand, well, they'll gather at noon and start to vote on a speaker. Whether Mike Johnson's going to get it on the first ballot is definitely a fair question. We'll talk to Mark Jacob about media coverage of this week's opening of Congress and the Trump transition. And then Dan Schumacher helps us wrap things up around 7:50 to talk about sports. Of course, the show's resident Bears fan will say no when we ask him, will the Packers defeat the Bears for the 12th time in a row this weekend? And if time allows, we're also going to go over the rules for a new kind of indoor professional golf league. It sounds a little weird, or it just might work. It just might be TV friendly enough to get some traction. So we'll talk about that yet this morning. Temperatures at the bus stop go like this. It's 10 degrees here on Lake Wissota, 8 in Amory, 8 in Hayward. Wausau, you're at 11 degrees right now. La Crosse, 12. Wisconsin Rapids, 11 degrees. Green Bay, 19. Madison, 15. It's 14 in Waukesha right now. And as always, the tropical temperature reading for Wisconsin is at Radio Park in Racine, right there along the Lake Michigan lakeshore, where it is, 20 degrees. Slathering on the SPF 5 below is one Greg Bach, who joins us on this Friday morning from Radio Park. Mr. Bach, good morning. How art thou?
I art thou good. And I feel for you with the whole check thing. Who wants to write a check nowadays?
Yeah, I mean, Roger chimes in on Facebook. I still have a checkbook. My signature is the only cursive I write, which is actually, yes, a very good point. I don't use cursive for anything else. It's indecipherable anyway, but then again, so is my regular handwriting. But yeah, fair point. But there's still a couple of places where you got to write the checkbook, you got to write the checkout, but nothing like it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, what I do now is I go to the bank, I pull a live cashier's check for two reasons. One, I don't want a checkbook. Two, the money's immediately out of my account. Had a couple of bad landlords back in the day who would, you give them a check and they'd wait like 2-3 weeks because they're on their time. And I'm like a 22-year-old who's living paycheck to paycheck. And yeah, so I just did away with regular checks.
The only time I see checks now, and I've mentioned this before, and it is set out of love and gratitude, is, you know, when I go check the Up North News post office box, P.O. Box 27 in Chippewa Falls, and when we do little pledge drives for Up North News, and we get just the sweetest notes and the same handwriting from these wonderful older folks, usually ladies, that attach a nice little post-it note saying how much they like what we do, and then, you know, we have to get all those checks cashed in. But other than that, I really wouldn't see any at all. So Roger does, as far as the rest of you, whether you want to weigh in on, are you still writing checks, or do you live in a place where you've got people that, you know, they just, your local grocery store, they prefer it that way? You can reach us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or, of course, you can use the Civic Media app to call us or text us. And you can also put a comment on our page at YouTube or Facebook. That's the Up North News YouTube page, the Up North News Facebook page, the Civic Media Facebook page as well. Hey, it's Friday.
It's very much Friday.
What's happening at the Laughing Tap this weekend?
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked there, Patrick. the Laughing Tap is back in action this weekend. We've got two shows this weekend, one Friday, one Saturday. AJ Grill is headlining. He is a Milwaukee favorite. He's got a special on YouTube called I'll Quit When I'm 30, and he'll be headlining tonight and tomorrow with actually great local comics, period. Eric Smith and Aaron Clark also opening as well. So tickets are $22 online, $25 at the door, no drink minimums. It's an easy night out to celebrate. Maybe you want a post New Year's celebration. Maybe you want to do it like that. You didn't want to go out on Tuesday night. Come out tonight.
Remember, I ran out of time to mention this yesterday during the history lesson, but how yesterday was National New Year's Alternative Day or something like that.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is that, yeah, when we were younger and we could not afford, you know, the big fancy night out on New Year's Eve, another couple, the four of us, we had the tradition of going out the next night.
Yeah.
New Year's, you know, on January 1st, where they were very happy to see you if they were open, you know, being a holiday. But a lot of, you know, bars and things were open, and they were happy to have any customer in there at that point. And you didn't spend as much. So I totally get that. And so folks who maybe skipped New Year's Eve, this is your chance to go see some comedy and, you know, maybe hoist a pint with Mr. Bach.
Oh, you're going to hoist a pint or two.
Yeah, something like that. Here's the part. Warning, we're about to talk sports. Warning.
No!
Warning.
I need a warning button now.
I know. The college football playoffs. We've talked about this with the baseball playoffs and some of the others. What is it about teams when you're supposed to want to get a bye week? You're supposed to want to bye. You're supposed to want to rest up, get healthy. You know, the other team has got to work and grunt all the way through it. The college football playoffs, they seeded all the teams, you know, 1 through 12, and with teams 1 through 4 getting a bye. They skipped that first round.
Yeah.
And then in the first round, well, it was chalk. So the 5, 6, 7, and 8 teams all advanced to play the 1, 2, 3, and 4 teams. And now at the conclusion of the quarterfinals from yesterday in the college football playoffs, here's your final four. It's teams 5, 6, 7, and 8. All four teams that got a bye were upset. The most recent being that Notre Dame upset number 2 Georgia yesterday in the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans, 23-10. So your final four is going to be Notre Dame versus Penn State in the Orange Bowl next Thursday, and Ohio State versus Texas in the Cotton Bowl next Friday. And then the championship game will be in Atlanta on Monday, January 20th. But I don't have any explanation for it, but we've talked about this in other sports. I know there were some past years where the Packers actually got the bye week, and then they lost in their first round of the playoffs, you know. So I don't know why that is. I guess losing momentum is tougher than having to, you know, get a rest.
Yeah, there might be something to be said about being in the mode, in that mode. Yeah. You're right. Because, I mean, a week, I don't know. I mean, I am married to a woman who was born in Indiana who comes from deep, deep South Bend roots. So I have to, by law, root for Notre Dame. And I'm glad it worked out for them, especially against Georgia. But that is craziness. That's craziness. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. And so for folks that do follow that, they'll have, again, I don't follow betting or anything like that. So I doubt that very few people bet that 5, 6, 7, and 8 would be the final four teams. But if you did, I'm sure the odds were really high. And I'm sure that, you know, you're getting set to buy an island or something this weekend with your winnings.
I'm sure it was just a lot of fans of theater and dance are like 5, 6, 7, 8. All right. Sorry. Yeah, sorry about that one. I apologize.
All right. Back to the Packers for a moment. Packers safety Xavier McKinney was selected as a starter for the Pro Bowl. Do they still have the Pro Bowl?
I was going to be like
is that more of like a skills contest now, or is it a flag football? I don't even know what it is.
Like,
I don't know.
No one cares. Like, no
yeah,
one
because
really
nobody, none of the All-Star games work really, except the baseball one. The baseball one is still, you know, a pretty good baseball game, though it's getting to be more of an exhibition all the time.
Yeah.
The others, it doesn't work. So anyway, to the degree of which this is an honor, congratulations to Xavier McKinney. After all, he ranks second in the league in interceptions with 7 and is the first Packer safety to make the team since Clinton Dix in 2016.
Hey, watch your language.
Which I share only because it's been years since anybody's had a reason to say ha-ha Clinton Dix when talking about the Packers roster.
Oh, God, what the greatest names ever.
And congratulations as well to Rashawn Gary and Josh Jacobs, who also made the roster but not as starters, and guard Elgin Jenkins was named a first alternate. As mentioned, the Packers are seeking their 12th straight win over the Bears at Lambeau Field Sunday at noon. Catch the game on WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, and WRJN in Racine, Kenosha. The Milwaukee Bucks, 2 nights after erasing a 19-point deficit to win at Indiana, the Bucks fell behind 24 points last night against Brooklyn and could not come back and lost to the Nets 113-110. The Bucks will host Portland on Saturday. We'll tell you about Badger men's and women's college hockey because they've got some outdoor action coming up this weekend. And then we'll get into talking about the new Congress and then Jim Santel coming up in about 15 minutes as well. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlaw.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
The late George Martin, famously the producer for the Beatles, was born 99 years ago today. This is from some of his final work done for the special Love album for Cirque du Soleil, with remixes, mashups, and rarely heard versions of the Beatles songs he produced for all those years. That's a demo version of George Harrison's While My Guitar Gently Weeps, for which Martin wrote a new orchestral score, the only truly new material on the album. If you've never heard it, the Love album by the Beatles, Cirque du Soleil, highly recommend that. 6:22 now on this Friday, January 3rd, on Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlaw. It's nice to have you along here. Continuing just to preview the weekend in sports, the Badger men's basketball team is back in action tonight. They are hosting Iowa. Coverage begins at 5 this evening on WLAK in Amory, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, WRJN in Racine, and WRCE in Richland Center, and on the Civic Media app as well. Badger women's basketball, they play tomorrow at Indiana. Now, the Badger women's hockey team is number one in the nation. The Badger women's hockey team is now 20-1 on the season. Their only loss came about 6 weeks ago to Ohio State, the number two team in the country. That was clearly on the Badgers' minds last night as the women swarmed all over the Buckeyes, winning last night 6-0. The two teams will face off again tomorrow afternoon, but outside at Wrigley Field in the Frozen Confines tournament. The Badger men aren't having that same kind of season. They are now 9-11-1 so far after losing last night at Michigan State, the top men's team in the nation. And those two teams, the Badgers and Spartans, they too will face off Saturday night, again outside at Wrigley Field in the Frozen Confines tournament. Badger men's basketball hosts Creighton tonight. Badger women's basketball hosts Butler on Saturday afternoon. Up North News has a daily newsletter. You can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up for our unabashedly Wisconsin news. And find us on social media. Just search for Up North News WI on whatever social media platform you prefer. On our Facebook page right now, a story about how roughly half of Wisconsin's special education teachers leave after 5 years. But in some good news, the state is getting more than $10 million from the U.S. Department of Education to help with specialized training and coaching for new special education teachers and leaders. Learn more about that over at our Facebook site. Again, search for Up North News WI. Don't forget the WI to find us on social media. Now, imagine having a job or being up for a job that you really want, but that there are people willing to go on national TV and say they would prefer their bodies to be mutilated than to support you for that job. That's the situation facing Mike Johnson ahead of him, the current Speaker of the House. Recall that, I mean, Kevin McCarthy, what did he need, 15 ballots or something like that to get a job that he only held for about 9 months? And then eventually they settled on Mike Johnson, and everybody thought, well, here's this far right, you know, congressman who's going to be, you know, just fall in lockstep. But of course, he also recognized there's this need to, you know, govern. And so he has cheesed off some of his most ardent fellow right wingers to the point where, when the new Congress convenes at noon and they hold an election for Speaker, and Mike Johnson has such a slim majority he can only afford to lose one vote, we already know who that one vote is, and it's this Congressman, Thomas Massey, who was interviewed on the OAN network yesterday.
If Chip Roy were asked to serve as chairman of the Rules Committee, would that be enough to get your vote for Mike Johnson?
Oh, no. You can pull all my fingernails out. You can shove bamboo up in them. You can start cutting off my fingers. I am not voting for Mike Johnson tomorrow. And you can take that to the bank. You
Who
know
are you
that,
voting for,
Matt.
Thomas?
Who you take that to the bank. Cut off my fingers if need be. I'm not voting for Mike Johnson. But other than that, Speaker Johnson, how are you feeling about your chances? You know, so I bring this up because, I mean, most people are like, who cares? It's a speaker's vote. Well, on January 6th is when they have that joint session to certify the presidential election of votes. What if they don't have a speaker by January 6th, by Monday, you know?
Oh, they just put it off until Tuesday and then Wednesday. And then, you know,
like everything else. Yeah. Just kick the can.
Also, sir, Representative Massey, a simple no would have done. That's just, yes. we didn't need the violent war-torn, like, examples you gave
us. It's not that big of a deal, sir. where you have to promise bodily mutilation, but sure, if that's what you want to do.
And on a side note here, congrats to Matt Gaetz on his new show on OAN. That was a clip from his Emmy His mom thinks he's the best.
If there is an award given for the host with the most filler, cosmetic filler in their face, it might be the new Wayne Newton of cable news, Matt Gaetz.
Oh, that's a great show. Donkey shirt for that joke.
It was a lot easier over on the Senate side for Republicans, where Mitch McConnell is stepping down as majority leader after 18 years there, and South Dakota Senator John Thune will take over. There were three candidates running for the spot, but Senate Republicans quickly assembled behind John Thune, who, by the way, got his Senate seat in South Dakota by defeating Tom Daschle, who had been the Senate Democratic leader back in his day. So now the new Republican Senate leader comes from the state of South Dakota. And in both cases, again, it needs to be said that these leadership qualities, if you could call it that, are going to be needed like never before, because in the Senate, you know, you need 60 votes to do almost anything. Thune seems to think that he can get some of these things done through, you know, parliamentary maneuvers that don't require 60 votes. And I don't know who he's kidding, because there are senators on the Democratic side who read the rules as well. Let's see, Alicia writes on YouTube, Congressman Massey needs to remember that there are kids listening. He says kids, you know, like J.D. Vance. Very good.
Boom, yes, roasted.
That's right. So I'm not here to, you know, dance on the grave of any inability to get something done. All right, well, maybe a little bit. But it's just to, again, say, to get things done in Washington, Madison, or anywhere takes leadership, compromise, negotiation, an ability to get along well with folks, even if you don't agree with them all the time. Nothing like that you see in the current Congress. Jim Zantel joins us to remember Jimmy Carter next. You're up north.
As I'm sitting here doing nothing but
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Yeah, I know you're going to accuse me of being too clever by half, but the Sanford and Son theme really works here on two different levels. First is that the official word has come from the Marshfield Clinic Health System. Marshfield has officially merged with Sanford Health of Sioux Falls. See what I did there? Marshfield's 13,000 employees will join Sanford to create a rural-focused nonprofit health system that'll have 56,000 employees, with health plans serving almost 500,000 members in 56 hospitals across 7 states. So a very big healthcare merger is now official, with Marshfield Clinic merging with Sanford. It works as well because Sanford and Son itself was on the air from 1972 to 1977, which would include part of the administration of the 39th president, one James Earl Carter, who passed away the other day at the age of 100 and will be laid to rest next week, Thursday, in a state funeral. So many people, of course, in any presidential administration pass through the West Wing at any given point, the executive office building, other posts in Wisconsin and elsewhere. And that might include some fresh, young, you know, wet behind the ears, green, whatever you want to call it, kids. They were kids is what they were. And former U.S. attorney James Santel, before he was a big shot U.S. attorney, was a kid from Marquette who served as an intern in the Jimmy Carter White House, and joins us a little early to talk about that. Mr. Santel, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to both of you. A happy new year. And yes, indeed, many, many years ago, right before I headed off to law school, spent another summer in Washington, D.C. I was in the old executive office building with some other interns. And to this day, when I walk by on 17th Street, there is a window way, way up there on like the 19th floor. It's not the 19th floor, but of the old executive office building. No air conditioning. That's where the interns were during that summer. Great honor, great a part of my history, of course, but also as we think about Jimmy Carter's legacy, he left a great thoughts on who he was and what he meant.
So while you were there, you know, working in this little cramped and unair-conditioned office, but at some point, somewhere in that area is a window. And you're looking out that window going, all right, this isn't the worst thing in the world as you're looking out at the nation's capital.
Absolutely not. We actually had a view, for what it's worth, that wasn't even the nation's capital. We were looking down, we were looking west into that area. But absolutely, I had an opportunity even prior to that to work for a congressman on Capitol Hill. His name was Clement Zablocki, that many of your listeners may remember. And it was because of that work that Congressman Zablocki, who I also admire tremendously in international relations, other things, of course, for Wisconsin, that I was able to work for one summer, the last summer, as it turned out, of the Carter administration. I was in the domestic policy staff, which at that time was headed up by a woman named Erica Ward, a fellow named Stuart Eisenstadt, who went on to write a very notable, memorable account of Jimmy Carter's time in the White House. And again, one of the things that I recall as we think about the future of America, the future of our world, is the extent to which Jimmy Carter was focused way back then, 1970s and 1980, on environmental issues and the importance of thinking about the future. I had this great opportunity in June and July to be on the South lawn of the White House. In June, he signed something called the Energy Security Act of 1980, talking about how we preserve our future. Didn't really call it climate issues at that time, but talked about things that we need to be concerned about to ensure our future livelihood. He presented in July of that year some things called the President's Awards for Energy Efficiency. And again, thinking about the ways that we use energy in a way that's thoughtful and is mindful of future generations. He put, as we well know, he put those solar panels on the roof of the White House. He was mocked for it somewhat, again, ahead of his time. Ronald Reagan notably took them down. But this is a man who, among many, many other things which we can chat about, will chat about, obviously, in the days and weeks and months and hopefully years just ahead, was ahead of his time and was telling us the way to go.
Yes, he was. And I want to come back to this. I don't want to miss our main topic of the Carter administration. But you did touch on something that actually took place yesterday, the latest reminder of how the right wing has captured a large parts of our judicial system with a ruling that essentially guts something called net neutrality. And in much the same way that President Carter put on solar panels, Ronald Reagan took them down, President Biden passed landmark climate legislation, Donald Trump, you know, undid things from Obama, he's going to undo things from the Biden administration. You now have this court coming in yesterday, this Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, I believe it was, and saying in so many words, nope, once again, like in the Chevron decision, the government can only do these very limited things, even though they might be the experts on it. If you want, you've got to let judges now be the experts, even though judges are experts on nothing other than the law itself. Jim, it just sounds like another huge step back in this case for American consumers.
Absolutely. And we have talked on this for a broadcast about the implications, what I'll refer to as the second most important decision, horrific decision coming out of the Supreme Court in the last term, and that was in this Loper Bright Enterprises case, in which, yes, indeed, they reversed about 40 years of what's called Chevron deference, acknowledging that agency scientists and people who know what they're talking about, in this case, obviously communications people, we shouldn't defer to them. They don't know what they're talking about. Instead, we'll have judges, and you're just right. Interesting, the Sixth Circuit, in again reversing what has been briefly the Biden administration position on net neutrality, says this: we acknowledge that the workings of the internet are complicated and dynamic. Thank you very much, G3 judge panel, for acknowledging that that's the case, and that the FCC has significant expertise, so we know that these people know what they're doing. But after the fall of Chevron, it continues, that capability, if you will, cannot be used to overwrite the plain meaning of the statute. Well, they basically are, again, once again, throwing this to the dogs, if you will, and changing, at least for now, the Sixth Circuit. This will probably go up to the United States Supreme Court. question what they will do. Probably affirm the Sixth Circuit.
Probably affirm it because they're the ones that opened all of this nonsense to say that now the only way that you can decide things is for Congress to somehow know in advance every little thing that's going to happen, every intended and unintended consequence, and write that into the law. And of course, that's an impossible thing. And that gets to the very heart of what is wrong with originalism as a theory, to say, well, we can only do what people in the 1700s told us to do. Well, damn it, Jim, if that was the case, then we would be regulating guns rather than muskets.
Absolutely. I always say, we've talked on this very broadcast about this, if James Madison were here today, he would be absolutely mystified by what's going on right now, that there's this thing called radio, and that you and I are actually looking hundreds of miles apart, are looking at each other on this thing called the internet, right?
Right.
Lights and use of electricity, all those things. It is just a ridiculous proposition. Again, the Sixth Circuit just yesterday, once again, invoking that, if you will, to say only we know what the world is all about. And by the way, the agency cannot regulate this at all.
It's horrifying. It's just once again, unbelievable. And by the way, I'm sure you can hear much more about this on Jim's regular show, Amicus, a Law Review, live tomorrow morning, 9 to 11 on civic media stations around the state. Learn more at civicmedia.us. Now, let's get back to remembering the 39th president. What was your exposure, again, as a lowly intern? But what counts in terms of, you know, the moments that kind of made your jaw drop? I really doubt that President Carter came upstairs and, you know, shook all your hands as you were getting your work done some hot afternoon. But what did count as moments of honor and recognition?
Sure. Here's the superficial piece. And this is headiness, again, when you are as young as I was at the time, and you can take this pass that I resurrected from my own old annals here.
Oh,
and
my.
You can walk into the West Wing. And again, Jimmy Carter did not come to the old executive office building, we went there. I've got some wonderful pictures of in the Roosevelt room with the other interns when he would talk about his vision for America. And again, the word decency, much too overused these days in talking about him. But you could tell that this was a man who was committed to the nation in every word, every deed, every thought that he had. And again, being in the very presence of this man, of the presidents of the United States of America, that is heady in and of itself. Many of the things that we worked on, again, when I say we, Jim Santel, a very tiny little bit, I wrote some memorandums and attended some meetings, took some notes, those kinds of things, was basically a gopher for the summer. Do not mean to overstate my role at all. But when it comes to domestic policy, of course, which again, Jimmy Carter often criticized for not being a domestic policy president, but being an overseas president, many things that he began to do, including the Camp David Accords, Egypt and Israel, diplomatic relations with China, again, the Panama Canal treaties, all those kinds of things back in the news again with Donald Trump. We forget that he did many, many things when it comes to attempting to curb what at that time again was called stagflation many other economic things, domestic policy issues. He was very much on the cusp of issues related to race and non-discrimination policies, advancing that. And he talked about that to people both publicly and internally. I was honored to be among those people who was in the room, if you will, when he did that and had this great, great opportunity to be a very small part of that last term. At the time, I remember well, he had lunch with us, and a fellow named Bert Karp, who's one of his advisors, looked at us and in the presence, almost the presence of the president, he had just left and said, you know, if Ronald Reagan runs a perfect campaign, he will defeat us. And I think all of us thought, how could that possibly be? How could it be that, again, Ronald Reagan, who had its own merits, how could that possibly be that he would be defeating this wonderful human being? And of course, he did by a landslide in November of 1980. All of that, again, remains a part of the history of our time. And my history of well, as well, I will be shedding a small tear when I view, as do you and your listeners, what happens next week. We should keep in mind, again, what the presidency can be, should be, even as we compare this terrific man for his life and his presidency, even his pre-presidency, if you will, in Georgia, to what we are going to be seeing, presumably, on January 20th and going forward of this month.
It's such a difference between what you saw in terms of service. People, you know, a good man who wanted to serve his country versus those who seek power above all else. The difference between those who want to govern and those who want to rule, those who see government as, you know, belonging to all of us, and others who see government as an impediment, and somehow we should let the so-called magic of the marketplace decide everything. I mean, what a whiplash we did in 1980, then again in 2016, and now again coming up this January 20th. And I just don't know, from somebody being as inside as you were at the time, how you even come to terms with that kind of back and forth that, you know, Americans will take their own country.
Absolutely. And again, this notion, which again is a part of the Reagan Revolution, which is, just let it all rip, just let it all happen. Recall once again, Jimmy Carter's accomplishments. He created the Department of Education, huge numbers of things. Time does not permit us, even in the days ahead, to talk about all the things that our Department of Education does, not only in terms of funding, but yes, indeed, setting the tone, the perspective on all sorts of things that should be happening in that setting. The Department of Energy, he created that as well. All of those institutions of government for which we are better. I know government can be criticized. It often is appropriately. What are we doing today? We're talking about dismantling all of those things from which we have benefited, again, from the past 40 years, dismantling them and letting the community, letting the nation just go ahead and do whatever it wants. Jimmy Carter's legacy. Yeah.
Letting corporations do whatever want, as opposed to Jimmy Carter, who trusted the people. Hold up that West Wing press pass photo one more time for folks watching on social media. For anybody that says that looks more like an oil painting, that is actually how they made press passes back then. Right. Was everybody had an oil painting made of them. So
exactly. It was, again, at the time of the glaciers. That's how we did things. So,
Jim Santel, thank you so much for a little bit of insight into the 39th president, his administration, and the whole notion of public service. God knows we need to get that back. Jim, thanks so much. Have a great weekend. We'll listen to you on Amicus tomorrow morning.
Here, here. Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Greg. Happy New Year to you and all your listeners.
Happy New Year to you as well. Today's history lesson coming up right after this. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I tell you, that man could hold a note, whoever that announcer was, for Arsenio Hall, the show that debuted on this day in 1989. I should have looked up who that is. I have no idea. I just know that was how you knew it was showtime when it was time for Arsenio. No, I won't do it. I promise you. But I think it's worth noting for folks like, oh, yeah, that old show that was on back in the 90s. I mean, for its time, for those of us who, again, no disrespect to the memory of Johnny Carson, but that was all you'd had for 25 years to that point. You know, others had come and gone, and then along comes Arsenio, and it's like, okay, this is a real choice, and there's some real variety. There's things here that would never be, and it's when Johnny Carson started to get spoofed on Saturday Night Live and things like that. But yeah, the show itself premiered on January 3rd, 1989, as part of today's history lesson. What do you got here for me here? Burton Richardson was the name.
Yep.
Doesn't ring a bell. Okay.
Nope.
anyway, probably died from his lungs exploding at some point from holding those notes. Let's see. Let's go to the rest of today's history lesson, a bit more musically inclined. On this day in 1957, Fats Domino walked into a studio. You'll see what I'm doing here, and recorded this tune.
I'm walking, hear the need, I'm talking, but you and me, I'm hoping.
Oh, we're going way back now in the history books to this day in 1521.
when
Pope, Pope Leo the Tenth, you know, the Tenth, Pope Leo the Tenth excommunicated Martin Luther. That might have been a mistake in hindsight.
Yeah.
Born this day in 1892, J.R.R. Tolkien, the Lord of the Rings author, of course, writer, poet, and more. Happy 80th birthday to Stephen Stills from Buffalo Springfield and, of course, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going.
Stephen Stills, 80 years old today. 99 years ago today, the birth of Sir George Martin, the fifth Beatle, unofficially. The late producer, arranger, composer, conductor. It would be very tough to top his many innovations with the Beatles. He signed the group to EMI Records in 1962, and it was his expertise as an arranger that helped shape the band's unique sound. Not to take anything away from John and Paul and George and Ringo, but they truly would not be what they became without George Martin.
Correct. Agreed. 100%.
Here's your moment to feel really old, and Roger seconds it on Facebook with this comment. You know you're getting old when Winnie Cooper, actress Danica McKellar, turns 50 years old today. Winnie Cooper is 50. Thomas Bangalter is also 50 years old today.
Thomas Bangalter. He's French.
Oh.
He's French.
I was about to say, the French electronic musician and half of Daft Punk. Oh, we'll play a little bit from him a little later on.
Yes, sir.
For folks watching on social media or not watching there, I tend to give a cue for playing a tune, and there was a tune there that didn't exist because we're going to play that tune later on. So it looked like I was about to cue, but instead I was just really emphasizing the point.
I love French electronic music.
And that he is 50 years old today. John Paul Jones, born John Richard Baldwin, is 78 years old today. Here's my cue.
Oh, yeah.
Bass player for Led Zeppelin. He worked with the Stones and the Yardbirds as well. 78 years old today. Alaska was admitted as the 49th U.S. state on this day in 1959. Former quarterback Eli Manning is 44 years old today. The number one song this day in 1970 was by B.J. Thomas.
Raindrops are falling on my head. And just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed.
On this day in 1990, the U.S. invaded Panama. Manuel Noriega, the former leader, surrendered to American forces over crimes that were committed. Could be telegraphing that something else might be happening with Panama once Donald Trump takes office. Really? This is a guy that got elected because eggs were expensive, and now we're talking about, you know, invading Panama and Greenland. But anyway, let's see. The number one single this day in 1976 was by the Bay City Rollers. Nope.
Oh.
Somebody clearly did not check his cue before giving it to you. Let me know if you get it back.
You talk for a moment.
Okay, well, I will. Well, I tell you that on this day in 2001, the Dave Matthews Band, remember yesterday's history lesson, and we said we're going to have the perfect show tomorrow? Again, that'll be Monday. Monday, we're going to have a perfect segment for this. But on this day in 2001, the Dave Matthews Band became the first major artist to release a song on Napster, with the song I Did It debuting on the controversial file sharing platform. This is National Chocolate Covered Cherries Day, which you really should have finished all those before Christmas because they sell a ton of them beforehand. National Drinking Straw Day, for better or for worse. This is Fruitcake Toss Day. If you got a fruitcake and you're not going to eat it, toss it today.
Yeah.
This is Right to Congress Day. Good luck with that. They're a little tied up with other things right now. And this is Women Rock Day as well. But before we salute the women, let's again salute the Bay City Rollers, who had the number one hit this day in 1976 with... There we go. Coming up next, we will talk to State Senate Democratic Leader Diane Hesselbein about the new session of the Wisconsin Legislature that kicks off on Monday. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.